Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bring the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with David Dowling, who is running for Lake County Sheriff. Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Morning.
Just to start, I always ask all my guests, just give me a little bit of your history, who you are, where you came from, all that kind of stuff.
Sure. My name is David Dowling. I was born and raised in the city of Hammond. I graduated from Morton High School in 1981 and attended Purdue Calumet. And in 1984, I was hired by the town of Schererville as a police officer. And I came to Schererville in 1984, moved to the Tri-Town area in 1987. And then I've been fortunate enough to spend my whole career with the Schererville Police Department, 10 of those years as the chief of police, and almost just under 20 of those years in some form of the administration.
Okay. Is that normal to spend your whole police career in the same department, or is that an oddity?
I think in today's world, it sometimes might be more of an oddity, but I was born and raised in a law enforcement family. My grandfather was the former mayor of the city of Hammond back in the 50s and 60s. My dad was a police officer, chief of police in Hammond.
Oh.
I had two brothers. Two of my three brothers were police officers. The other one was a fireman. So we were all brought up in that public safety mindset.
Sure.
Both my sisters were teachers, one in the city of Hammond and the other in at Lake Central here. They're both retired now. So that was kind of our mindset. I think I knew from an early stage in my life for sure by high school age that I certainly wanted to pursue law enforcement. That was where I saw my future.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I don't think it happens that early now for any career.
Right. You're right. Yeah. You know, when I was growing up, obviously, like most people, have a handful of friends and still see the same handful of friends. And they all kind of joke about that now that, you know, they all knew back then.
Yeah.
They're all in other fields, you know, they're IT people, they're engineers or other, sure, other fields, but they always, they still joke about that today. They knew where I was going to go.
Yeah. So 34 years as a police officer, why you want to continue that role into the sheriff's department now?
Yeah. You know, I made a decision back in May of 2016 that I was going to run for sheriff. I've been fortunate to have a great career in Schererville. I felt like we accomplished a lot, but I also felt that there was more to do. I was young when I started, so I still feel like I've got a lot of years to give. I was 21 years old when I came to Schererville. So, and then, you know, things kind of happened and we had some problems at the sheriff's department, mm-hmm, and the sheriff had his issues and the trial came, and that just motivated me more that I felt that someone, I know a lot of people at the sheriff's department, when you're in this business 34 years, you know people in your business, you know, mm-hmm, from other cities and towns in the sheriff's department. And I know there's a lot of good people there, but I also know there's a strong need of leadership right now. And we have an image problem. We have to correct it. And that motivated me even more that my decision back in 16 was the right one to try to take that next step to the sheriff's department and provide the expertise that I feel I've gained over the years to benefit not only the department, but the community.
So that May of 16, I can't remember the whole timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Was the sheriff already under suspicion at that point, or was that even before? So
no, that
your
was
decision was before that.
Yeah, all that started, I think it was around November of that year, but that was probably, yeah, good 6 months before. So that's how I had planned my retirement. And my whole goal was, reason I announced so early, my whole goal was to, when the time came for the heat of the campaign, to be retired from Schererville, not have any of that interfere with it, be able to campaign full time. And that's what I've done. I retired. My last day in Schererville was last Friday, February 16th. And now we're off to a full-time
hit the ground campaign. Running, right?
Yes.
Very good. So why don't you just talk a little bit about, you're one of eight candidates, I think,
right,
in your primary?
Yes.
So why don't you just talk a little bit about what separates you from them? Or
sure.
Yeah.
I think as people look at our records, because we are what our record says they are, as they say in sports sometime. And if you look at my 34 years compared to the other candidates, I think what you're going to find out that I'm the one that has the training experience to get the job done. Some of the candidates don't even have a law enforcement background. You know, there's other candidates that have very limited experience in law enforcement and on the administrative side. What I can bring to the table is both being a career police officer, but also being a police administrator. I don't think any of the other candidates can do that. I think one thing that separates me from the others is they talk about what they would like to do. I've done it. Mm-hmm. I've done those things. I've had the experience doing those things. One thing that I'm extremely proud of that I know separates us from myself, from the other candidates, is national accreditation. In Schererville, we have been accredited since 2007. And every 3 years, we go through a national accreditation process where we have assessors come in, spend about 3 days in town assessing the police department, looking, making sure we're meeting national standards as far as our policies, and we're following those policies. Our last assessment was in 2017. Last summer, we ended up having to go to Providence, Rhode Island for our final interview and process, and we were approved without any conditions. In other words, we had a perfect score. So I'm very proud of that, and yeah. I think those are the types of professionalisms that we can bring to the Sheriff's Department, that we need to bring to the Sheriff's Department, because I think the biggest thing about accreditation is it proves to the public that you're doing the things that you say you're doing, and it brings credibility to
it. Third party looking at it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is that something that many other departments have, or is Schererville unique in that?
It's very commonplace nationally, especially East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, kind of come slower. In our area, there's only two in Lake County that are accredited, and it's Schererville and Munster. St. John recently went through a state accreditation. They didn't go through the national credit. Similar, but not quite the same, but similar. And Valparaiso is also accredited, but obviously they're in Porter County. But what I've learned through this process over the last, 10 years, it's for small and large departments alike. It can bring, even if you're not fully accredited, because sometimes it takes you a while to get there. Because we, when we started that process originally, it took us about 3 years to get to where we needed to be. So I think it's a process, but while you're going through that process, you can apply a lot of the principles of the accreditation process that hopefully will improve, professionalize your department. And that would be my goal when we take over the Sheriff's Department next January, would be obviously initially an evaluation of where we're at and what it would take to get to those steps.
Okay. So the Sheriff's Department can reach that, the potential. They accredited everybody, basically.
Yeah. When we were in Providence, Rhode Island last year, probably about one third of the police departments that got accredited that session were sheriff's departments.
Okay.
So it's not unusual for them. It's a little different because you've got the jail concept. You've got the civil division. You've got other court security. You have other things that fall under the sheriff that necessarily fall under a traditional city or town police department.
Right. So in that accreditation, so you get elected, there's things that you could implement without that accreditation that are moving towards that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we've learned from our experience is that you can do that. I think it's very important in the first 90 days just to have an assessment of where you're at. And then from there, we develop the plan with our administrative staff that we put together to start achieving some of those goals. And, I think there's going to be long-term goals. There's going to be short-term goals. I think we can address long-term things, starting right with our hiring process. There's a way to revamp that, making sure we're getting the best quality candidates that we can and we're hiring the right people.
Yeah. So with all the kind of turmoil in the department over the past year plus, has that affected the morale of the deputies and degraded the department? Is that kind of what's going on right now? Are they pretty stable and it was just a leadership issue?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think it's when you have a problem at the top and leadership, I don't think there's any way you cannot affect the morale of the officers. That being said, I think they've continued to truck along, so to speak, and do their job and hopefully not had any other type of issues come up. But I think it's inevitable that that affects those things, because I think it all starts with the leadership. You set the right tone in leadership, you're going to set the right tone in the department. And, that's what we hope to change.
Yeah, I think definitely the leadership sets the culture tone and it flows down. So being able to change that top, I would hope that, you could see it flow all the way down to the newest patrolman.
Yeah. Mark, the thing that I've heard, especially last year or so, I've been going to events all over the county for the last probably 18 months, but in particular the last year or so. And I hear this over and over again, and it doesn't matter if you talk to other law enforcement people, even administrators, or you talk to business leaders, or you talk to the average person at a steak fry. And those are all the types of events that I've been attending the last year or so in Republic. I hear it over and over again is that what we don't need is a reshuffling of the deck. What we need is the same old deck, basically. What we need is someone from outside that current environment to make real change. And that makes so much sense to me. And that's kind of, a lot of that is the area that I believe. And that's what we're doing. We're working every single day to earn people's support. And that's, I think that's what we have to do. I think all that gets lost in the whole political part of this. You have to get elected to do the job. So there's a political element to all this. And my concept is just get out there every day, meet as many people as you can, talk about the issues, stay on task as far as the issues go, and earn the people's support. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And I think, like you said earlier, the track record that you've shown, obviously you've proven that you can do it.
Right.
That you are capable of the job, and that says more than some other people possibly can say. So,
yeah, I think it does. And I think the record proves who you are and where your experience has been and what you've done in the past. And I know I have a leg up on the other candidates in that area.
Yeah. And 34 years in law enforcement, how has law enforcement changed over the years, from an administrative side or a public perception side?
Yeah, all those things. Yeah. It's, from a technology standpoint, yeah.
Think about that side. Yeah.
When I started, you had a little toggle switch in your car that turned the lights on, and you had a portable radio that you hoped worked. It sounds like cliche-ish to go back, but we've seen a lot of change in our profession in 34 years. And probably most people can say that about their professions too, but we've certainly have seen that change a lot. As far as our relationship with the community and stuff, I think that's changed tremendously in the last 5 to 10 years. That's why I think, that I've been involved in a lot of different organizations and groups, because I think that's important to interact with the community and our officers to interact with the community. So that community policing element is huge.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about the Sheriff's Department, the department that represents the whole county, in this county, we go from urban to suburban to rural, it covered the whole gamut.
Yeah.
So you really, I think, have to be flexible in all those things and sensitive to all those needs. So, I've tried to get myself involved in a lot of organizations the last several years, and it's been very beneficial, I think, to the town of Schererville. For example, we do quarterly community watch meetings. And when I first became chief the second time around in 2012, what we found out was, you're going to these events and you're getting the same 8, 9, 10 people show up. And unless you have a hot topic, they're not showing up. So what we tried to do is start doing other events in the community. And as far as our community watch meetings go, we started trying to have an interesting speaker. So we not only went over the traditional stats of where we're at and what we're doing, but we also tried to make it interesting with the speaker, usually provide some light food and refreshments. I can tell you, this last meeting that I was able to be a part of in January, we had over 50 people there. And that's kind of what we've seen the last few years, because we've created some interest. And when you have that dialogue with the community, it could be business people, could be regular citizens, you build trust. And when you have trust, it helps you get through those difficult times, because the difficult times are always going to come. It doesn't matter how, because things happen in this world, and you have to handle it accordingly. And hopefully part of that is building the trust with the business community, with the faith-based community, and the community at large. And I think when you do all those things, it goes a long way to get you through those difficult times.
And sometimes the trust is just having a face and a name put together.
Yeah.
It's just so I know this person's here, and this person's a police officer, this person's a police chief or whatever. Just them being in the community events, not even dictating what's happening at the event, just being there.
It's crucial for the community to know some police officers. The first time they come in contact with the police department shouldn't be when they have a crisis in their life.
Right.
It should be in some non-confrontational type of issue or non-problem related issue. That's one of the reasons why we started with Coffee with a Cop. Now, you've seen a lot of these Coffee with a Cop programs over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
When we started these a few years ago, my belief in that concept is simple. I don't think you go rent a hall out and say, we're going to be there, public, come and talk to me. Because now they're coming there with an agenda or a reason. Mm-hmm. How we do our Coffee with a Cop is we go to a restaurant, and what we do is we will interact with people at their tables. Generally, what we do is we'll go around with a waitress and not just me, but more importantly, uniform officers that they see on the street every day. And I tell you what we found out is it was just amazing to me. It amazed me at first, but then as it went on, I guess not so much, but probably 80-85% of the people got something to talk about.
No.
I mean, it might just be small talk about something, but it's not like, hey, leave me alone, I'm having my breakfast type thing. That's what we found out. And if people don't want to talk, we move on to the next table.
Sure.
And you meet all kinds of people that way. Plus, you're developing that relationship with the business. And it's all, to me, it's all positive. Dunkin' Donuts. We didn't want a Dunkin' Donuts. Cops, donuts, everyone can make fun of that, and we all do, but it's the whole thing. Now, everyone says Dunkin' Donuts. My first thought was, that's not a great place for this, because it's mostly like a drive-through crowd. If you go to most Dunkin' Donuts, there might be a few people inside, right? So, what we did is we put an officer at the window. And as they came up, they greeted the people, gave them their talk, and you know, probably only 10, 20 second little blurbs, but people had stuff to say, and it was a friendly type of interaction. And that's, I think that goes a long way in the community policing brand. That's the kind of thing. So we try to do those things I believe in. I don't think we do hardly any of that at the county level right now. Very few of that. And I think that is really something that we need to do. And I think that goes a long way to repair an image as well, because now there's the public's interacting in a different type of environment.
Right. And like you said before, not in an adversarial type thing. So if I'm getting pulled over for a speeding ticket, I don't want to, you know, not be my only interaction with a police officer.
That's right.
Yeah. That's some good things. I knew you guys did the coffee with the cops, but I didn't know the drive-through. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, we kind of just adjusted that day. We got there. It wasn't really planned. We got there and you know, we had a little bit going on in the lobby. How about the drive-up window? And the officer was also handing out our annual report when we did that. We call it an annual report, but every year what we do is, it's like a yearbook. It not only has an area with all of our, you know, statistics and all the stuff people want to see as far as that goes, but it also has little sections on all of our different programs. So we do that. We get that out to the community every year too. And that was a good place to hand it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the people seeing somebody out of place too helps that trust thing.
Sure.
Yeah,
it does. That is really crucial.
Yeah. So overall, why don't you just kind of sum up what your whole platform is for the sheriff and kind of just take the mic and go for it.
Sure. You know, I've summarized a couple of the things, but what I believe in is responsible leadership, quality policing. That's kind of our logo on our cards, on our logo. And I think we all begin to do that with the change that we bring and the leadership style that we have. So as my campaign moves forward, it's most important for me that people have a positive interaction and they trust who I am and how I'm going to do business. And I think my record definitely speaks to that. I think as we move forward through the issues that we have at the county, it's important, you know, short term, you address a lot of those things from a training standpoint and a supervision standpoint. Long term, you do things like the hiring. Mm-hmm. Don't pick anyone off the list. You have to be in a certain range to be selected, and then you're picking the best candidates, and hopefully a long-term effects is solid. But and there's so many things that we can get into. I mean, you have the Department of Justice there on the jail oversight. I think when you go through an accreditation process or the principles of that, that goes a long way to solve those issues. I think that's a critical area. You have the court security. You have the opiates issue. I haven't even gotten into any of that discussion today, but you know, we've done some stuff in Sherrillville that I'm proud of that I think we could do. But what's very important with the opiate crisis is treatment, education, and enforcement. What we've done in law enforcement for years and years is we look at the enforcement side and not the other two. And we started the program in Sherrillville about a year and a half ago. It's been incredibly effective, where we were looking how to partner with rehab centers to impact this problem, because we know you can't arrest your way out of this problem. That's such a state. And we were able to, thanks to Lake Central High School, quite frankly, we kind of worked with them a little bit, and they had a program where they had a bunch of vendors at their program. And so as a command staff, we separated and all went down, and we all talked to the vendors, and we found the vendor that we could work with, that we could send people to, where insurance wasn't an issue. If they didn't have coverage, there was grants and things that were available to them. And we have a program where someone, if you have a problem or a family member has a problem, you can either call or walk into the police station, and we will put you in contact and get you to that rehab center. Mm. Now, people asked me at the beginning of that, what's that do with a criminal case? It doesn't make a criminal case go away. If you have to do that, you do that. But here's what we found out since we've been doing it. We've just under 30 people that we've got into rehab, and not one's been tied to a criminal case, not a single one. What you're finding out is people will either call in, or they'll come in, or a family member will come in, and then you work with them and try to get that done. Right. The education piece is simple, partnerships with your schools. Now, obviously, with a countywide effort, there's going to be a much bigger picture of that with the schools and working with other cities and towns. In Sherrillville, what we did is we worked with Lake Central. And they've been doing a lot of program trying to address that, going all the way now into the middle school and elementary school level, because it is the stairway to heroin, as they say. It's not typically something that someone just gets hooked on. Usually it's a stairway. There are those cases where someone had a surgery and they get addicted because they had a knee surgery or something. But most cases, it's a stairway to that level. Yeah. And so those are the things that I feel are important. I feel number one is that we have to restore the image of Lake County Sheriff's Department. I know we can do that. You can, and you don't do that by talk. You do that by action, by getting out in the community and start developing and working on that image.
Yeah. And I think that is very important at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that it's probably one of the most important things we're going to do at the beginning, you know, with the whole self-evaluation. That's where we're at. We got to come in and we got to evaluate ourselves, and we got to be able to look in the mirror and honestly say where we're at and where we need to be and how do we get there.
And then the accreditation, bringing a third party in, whether it's a municipality for police department or sheriff's department or a business, like having that outside set of eyes looking and helping you get to where you should be. That's priceless.
Yeah. It's the oversight that, like I said, brings that credibility to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when you have that credibility, you build on that with the community. And that goes a real, real long way. And I'll just say this about accreditation. Here's what we found out in Schererville the last 10 years. When you say that word to some law enforcement people, especially like patrol officers on the street, it's like they're scared. This extra work, do we have to do these things? What, you know, how much more is this? Is right. someone looking over my shoulder? There's nothing to be afraid of when you're doing things the right way. Right. The whole concept of CALEA, which is a national accreditation, is to make your department better. It's not to make things harder for you. It's to make your department more professional and better so you serve the community better.
Right. And I'm sure, just like business, if you put all the processes in place, it's probably easier in the end than if you're not doing the steps.
Yeah. You know, when we first started this, there was lots of questions, lots of problems. Oh, is this because of CALEA or is this because of that? You know, we're at the stage now, 10 years later or so. And I say we, because I'm freshly retired. It's not like it's my former department. It's like, I'm still saying we, but we've got to a point now where those things are never even talked about anymore. It's just a matter of part of our culture now. And it's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Part of the process.
Yes.
Very good. So if anybody wants to know more about David Dowling for sheriff, where do they find you at?
Well, sure. You can always call me. My cell number is 219-746-1613. And yes, I'm giving out my personal cell number because that's what I do with this stuff. Okay. Or you can go to David Dowling for Sheriff on Facebook or David Dowling for Sheriff on our website as well. But obviously, we prefer the personal contact.
Sure.
We do have two headquarters opening up. We've been in them already, but we're in the process of having a grand opening soon. One to probably service more of the central South County area is going to be at 126 East US 30 in Schererville. That's right in the strip mall by Shoops there, right near 30 in Austin. Mm-hmm. And the North County location is at 3669 Broadway in Gary. That's basically one block north of the intersection of Broadway and Ridge Road.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.